And I go, yeah, you don't know.
You don't know Jesus. He doesn't preach Jesus. He doesn't preach salvation. He doesn't preach hell. He doesn't preach heaven. He just preaches prosperity and wealth and God loves you. And all that stuff is true. But there's a lot of poor Christians that are going to have a big, nice mansion one day. But I like to sing about the Lord. And in the very beginning, I believe Jesus was in the Bible in Genesis and all the way to Revelations. Am I right?
Amen.
Was I taught well? Yeah. And in Genesis 22, verses 13 and 14, Abraham was offering his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And then, and in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and this is after the angel of the Lord stopped him from sacrificing his son. He lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And Jehovah Jireh stands for the Lord the Provider. He will provide all. And then in Exodus 15:26, at the very end of that verse, God says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And if you read the verses up beyond that, he talks about the diseases and the things that he can heal us from. And when Jesus came down, he healed many. And Jesus is all those things. And then in Judges 6:24. It talks about Jehovah Shalom. When you hear the Israeli say Shalom, it means peace. The Lord of peace. So this song, a lot of my friends call it my Israeli song, is called Jehovah Jireh. So, and you can listen to all the names of God, and they all come back to the God in flesh, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I Am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, our God of salvation, the God, our Messiah. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you and testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. missed one. Anyway, we'll get it. Here we go. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, our God Messiah, the Son he sent to you and testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 is a chapter that tells us about the time when Jesus fed 5,000 men besides the women and children with 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. His disciples watched him as he took that little boy's lunch, break the bread and the fishes, and gave it to the disciples. They went out and fed the multitudes of people. Had a lot left over too, 12 baskets full. And then verse 22 tells us, and straightway, that means right after this happened, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Now this is the Sea of Galilee, which is approximately, we'll say, 7 miles across, okay? While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, up in the mountain, praying. But the ship, with the 12 apostles in it, was now in the midst of the sea. That means that they had rowed about halfway across the sea, 3.5 miles out across the water. And the ship's in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the water, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, now that's 3 o'clock in the morning by your clock. 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. 3.5 miles at least out there to the where they were, maybe further than that by then. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out with fear. straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. Now the story gets interesting. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now I've read this very interesting, fascinating story many, many times. And each time I read it, my soul is thrilled. Because every time I read it, I expose my soul to this incident. I'm helped. I trust God a little bit more. Look at this picture before us here. This little ship out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, in the midst of a terrible storm. You got a dozen men that are here rowing this ship, manning the oars. They're battling the tempest through the long, weary hours of the night, bravely fighting the prospect of death and a watery grave and getting nowhere. 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, they're tired, they're wet, they're cold, they're discouraged. And I imagine more than once, they said, I wish the master were here, he would know what to do. Because they knew, as the song says, that he's the master of the waves. They'd seen him still the storm before. All he had to do was to speak, and the wind would cease blowing, and the waves would become calm at his feet. They knew he had that power, but he wasn't with them. He'd gone up into the mountain to pray, and they proceeded across the sea without him. And now then, to add to their terror, they see this apparition. This is nighttime, 3 o'clock in the morning. Dark. They're out on the water. And they see this spirit, they call it, as he's walking on the sea. They didn't recognize him as Jesus. And they cried out with fear. And that's not an altogether unusual experience, is it? Jesus often comes to us in a way that makes us rather fear than welcome his presence. Sometimes he comes to ask us to give up certain things that we'd rather hold on to. Sometimes he asks us to render a certain service unto him that we're not prepared to render. Sometimes he asks us to make a surrender that we're not ready to make. Sometimes he comes in great disappointment and heartaches, and our faces are wet with tears. The disciples were afraid at first. And then he calmed their fears with these words, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now we especially see the effect that this presence of Christ had upon Simon Peter. He ceased to fear and began to hope. And the presence of Jesus Christ is designed to do just that. It's to give us faith. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now this is interesting because before that, Peter had no desire whatsoever to climb out of that boat and try walking on that water. That's before Jesus came. But the presence of Christ had begotten within him such a great faith that what before was an impossibility suddenly becomes a possibility. The presence of Christ did that. Because Christ always inspires such faith in the hearts of those who know him. And Jesus delights in such faith. Even when it's bold, daring, even reckless. It's a joy to him when Peter trusted him by making such a brave request as this. In Luke chapter 8, we read about a woman there. She'd had an issue of blood for 12 years. She'd been to every doctor in town. She'd spent all of her money on doctor bills. She was nothing better. So you see this woman out on the street and you say to her, "Where are you going? Are you going to see a doctor again?" She says, "No. This time I'm going to see Jesus." "Oh, you think Jesus can help you? Are you going to go into his presence and fall down on your face at his feet and beg him to heal you?" She says, "No. I'm not going to ask him for anything at all. What are you going to do? I'm just going to slip up behind him and touch the hem of his garment." "Well, you think that'll do you any good?" That's foolish. "You'll never get cured that way. He won't honor such a faith as that." But she goes on her own reckless way. She slips in through that crowd of people that are surrounding Jesus. And she touches the border of his garment. And you know the rest of the story. She was healed immediately. So Peter says, "Lord, bid me come unto you." And Jesus says, "Peter, I'm surprised at you. Why would you want to do such a foolish, insane, impossible, impractical thing as that? What makes you think you can walk on water all of a sudden? Don't you know the law of gravitation is against you? Peter, you've been around water all of your life. You You were a fisherman before you became a disciple of mine. Have you ever seen anybody walk on the water in all of your life? What makes you think you could do something like that? But Jesus didn't say that, did he? He said just one word. That word was come. Come. Jesus had already said, all things are possible to him that believeth. One time Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda. A lot of sick folks laying around on their pallets waiting for an angel to come down and stir the water. Here's a man that had an infirmity for 38 years. He'd never walked. He's lying there on his pad. And this man, Jesus, he didn't even know he was Jesus. He didn't know who he was. He was a stranger to him. He'd never seen him before, never heard about him. And this stranger walks up there and stands by his bed and says, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. He'd never walked a day in his life. But you know, he did what Jesus said. He rose up, rolled up his mat, threw it across his shoulder, and walked away, cured. That's the effect that the presence of Jesus has. I remember a time when there was a little 12-year-old girl that lay on her bed in her room. She was dead. The Lord Jesus Christ walked into that room. And he took her little lifeless hand in his. And he said to her, I say unto thee, arise. And she did. And she walked. And now, instead of rebuking Peter for making such a dumb request as he made, he's actually encouraging him. Come. And for Peter, that one word was all he needed. That was enough. I wonder what you or I would have said under the circumstances. Lord, I would like to. I wish I could. It sure sounds exciting. I've always wanted to do something special and extraordinary like that, really. But my Christian life has been dull and drab and unexciting. Oh, I'd like to walk on water. I really would. But I don't think I could do that. Peter didn't say that. He just immediately dropped his oars and climbed over the side of that boat and took off walking on the water. And there were 12 guys in that boat. He's the only one that climbed out of the boat and walked on water. And if Gene Rice had been in that boat, Peter would have been 1 out of 13. Because he wouldn't have done it either. What did these other disciples think about that? Brother Andrew probably caught him by the pants leg and said, "Sit down, Peter. Don't make a fool out of yourself. You're just going to get wet. We're going to have to drag you back in the boat. Nobody's ever walked on water before. Are you crazy? Maybe Jesus can, but you can't." Now imagine old doubting Thomas was there. He said, "Peter, listen to your brother Andrew. You can't walk on water." But Peter just climbed out of the boat. And with the spray of the wind and the mist and the water in his face and faith in his heart, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And you know, Peter is to be admired, even if he never takes a step. He's worthy of praise, even if he sinks like a chunk of lead when he steps over the side of that boat. At least he'd attempted to do the impossible. He had dared to undertake the supernatural. He staked his life on the power of Christ to make good on his promise. And even if he fails, he is worthy of respect, because it's better to try and fail 1,000 times than it is not to try at all. So Peter steps out of that boat upon the waters of that stormy sea. And in our blindness and our dullness and our stupid unbelief, it's a dumb thing to do. But wait a minute. What Peter was trusting was greater than what the other disciples were trusting. What did he have under him when he was in that boat? Nothing but a thin board between him and the water. What was between the other disciples? What were they trusting to keep them from drowning? A few boards. That's all. What was Peter trusting? He was trusting in the sure word of God. Is it easier to trust God or put our faith in a few thin boards? When Peter let himself down over the side of that boat, I think he dropped into God's arms. He dropped into the arms of the one that holds the sea in the hollow of his hand. He dropped into the arms of one whose power lighted the sun and set the stars in space. He dropped into the arms of the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. Why, before Peter could sink, he would have to break the arms of Almighty God. Peter had never been safer in all of his life. You could have piled upon him all the mountains of the world, and he wouldn't have sunk low enough to wet the soles of his sandals, because his feet were firmly planted upon the promises of God. Yes, Peter walked on the water. He did that which was humanly impossible. He accomplished that which was absolutely beyond the reach of any human being apart from the power of Christ. It must have been a thrilling experience. It brought joy to the heart of Jesus and a blessing to his fellow disciples. And the terror on their faces must have changed to looks of amazement as they said, "Look, He's doing it after all. I know he didn't walk very far, but he walked on the water. He didn't walk very long, but that was his fault, not the Lord's. Because he took his eyes off of Jesus, he could have gone the whole 9 yards, but that one fatal mistake caused him to begin to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. Oh, he believed in Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But he believed more in the boisterous wind. He believed in Jesus' power. But he believed more in drowning and death. He stepped out of God's hand. And in a split second, he was up to his neck in water. Now, there's absolutely no failure possible as long as he stands firm upon the promise of Christ. With God's promise under our feet, all the storms that hell can let loose cannot shake us. We need to lay hold on God's word and cling to it, and we'll never be put to confusion. Don't look at the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In one of the Psalms, Israel would sing, "We will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea." We will not fear. Why? Because our feet are planted on the promises of God. Peter was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Jesus is there to rescue him. So are you thirsty? Jesus says, "Come unto me and drink." Are you hungry? Jesus says, "Come and dine. I'm the bread of life." Are you tired and burdened? Jesus says, "Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Do you want to serve him? Jesus says, "Come, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." We should let Peter's experience challenge us to try great things for God. Get out of the boat. Trust the promises of God. God will keep his word. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this morning, for this wonderful experience that Peter had with you yonder on the Sea of Galilee. We thank you that through the Holy Spirit this was recorded for us, for our learning, for our admonition. There may be some here this morning that need to get out of the boat. The storm is raging. Our boat seems small. We row in vain to get to the shore. The winds are contrary against us, and we are afraid. We're afraid because Jesus is not in the boat with us. But let us, like the disciples, lift up our heads and look out across the water, and yonder comes Jesus. He's on his way. He'll be here soon. And we know that when the Master comes, the storm will cease. The waters will become calm. There may be some today that the old winds of strife and turmoil are stirring up their soul. And they need to hear the words of Jesus speak peace to their hearts and to their souls. There may be some today who are being challenged to get out of the boat and walk on the water, to do something special, something extraordinary for the Lord Jesus Christ. The call of God has come, the challenge has been made to their heart, and yet they're filled with fear. Help us today to get out of the boat and to trust your word, to trust your promise. Whatever problem we may be facing today is not greater than your grace and your love and mercy. Speak to hearts today, Lord, and have your will and your way as we submit ourselves to your wonderful will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
586.
Number 586. Let's sing a verse of this invitation hymn. Maybe someone today that's beginning to sink. You cry out, Lord, save me. Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him. He'll do the same for you. Will you come?
Will you walk?
This morning. Appreciate you being here. Remember, tonight we'll be talking about Joshua. So come and be with us in our evening service. We'll have a good time in the Lord. And as we're dismissed in prayer this morning, it's good to have Brother Patterson back with us in our service after his ordeal. And Brother Pat, would you lead us, please, in prayer? Dismiss our service.
Going out.
got some procedure done on his heart. Maybe an angioplasty or something. I don't know if he got any stents or what. He's been having a radish. His heart rate's been erratic.
All right, folks.
All right.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
First of the first of the month's checks in there?
Yeah.
Get writer's cramps.
How you doing? All right, well, have a good day.
All right, you too. Hey, Alice has a picture of James. He had his birthday yesterday.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh.
It's in.
Oh, it's in. Maybe I got a picture. Let me see.
Is he walking?
Yeah, well, okay.
Almost. He takes about three or four steps and squats down. He goes, I don't need to walk. I can crawl faster.
Sounds like Peter.
Sounds like my grandson.
There
you
go.
Down he goes.
Yeah, he's digging into that cake.
All hands.
Let's see.
Yeah. Well, you got to see the picture on Facebook Tim has.
Oh, yeah. So, one-year-old win?
Because Alice goes like this. Maper? Alice goes like this to him. He had icing on his hand. And then Alice goes, oh, no.
Pretty good, thank you.
You're feeling pretty good?
Yeah.
Good. Was it a big ordeal or manageable? Well, anything's a big ordeal. I mean,
there was a... I mean, I felt pretty good the next day, and then a couple days I felt bad, and then I had to go to the ER because my bruising was getting worse. You're okay. Don't worry. So, yeah.
Well, any invasion in the body is going to be an ordeal.
Yeah, and I'm on the Coumadin, so the bruising is real easy for me to get bruised.
Yeah.
But I was bruised all where they were working.
Today, this afternoon,
so I got a little concerned that I might be bleeding improperly.
Well, get well so we can sing a song.
Yeah. Maybe you got time this week? We could get together and do something.